It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Congress pushes for expanded authority to shoot down drones through legislation authored by Republican Mike Gallagher of Wisconsin. We examine an emerging drone detection and security industry to protect businesses, stadiums, and other sensitive airspace. Call in with a question or comment along the way, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Mary Lou Smulders is chief marketing officer of a San Francisco-based firm called D-Drone, developing detection technology to defend against malicious drones. Mary Lou, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
D-Drone says 40 countries use its tracking software. What types of agencies need drone detection technology to protect their airspace in this day and age?
Yeah, that's a great question. We call ourselves a dual-use technology. So that means that it's used in both the civilian as well as the military world. I think with the conflict that we've all seen in Ukraine, Russia, we can understand how counter-drone technology might be used in the military world. And then home side, there are, in fact, many entities that are suffering from either what we call the careless and the clueless or more nefarious type drones. And it's, as you said, stadiums, prisons, airports. You certainly don't want a drone near your airplane. And other folks are seeing more and more drones in their skies as their popularity rises.
Can you give us some examples of the range of uses for drones today, like examples for reasons why drones might be deployed?
Drones are great. You know, they can be an incredibly productive and wonderful piece of our lives. Everybody, or most people, I think, me included, would certainly want to have their package delivered within an hour to their front door. And that's something that folks are working on. They are incredible in some parts of the world and now in the United States, in fact, in Utah, where I live, where medical supplies are being delivered by drones much faster than they could have been done before. And when you begin to think about it, thousands and thousands of wonderful things that drones could do for us.
So I was going to say, you're looking to the future there, but some of these things are happening already with drone capabilities.
You're absolutely right. The examples that I mentioned with medicine delivery is today. There are some folks in different really forward-pushing police departments that are using drones as first responders. They could get to a scene faster. You can easily imagine how they might be able to look for a lost person faster. And then on the more industrial side, for things like precision agriculture, we don't actually have to water the thousands of acres. Farmers can use drones to figure out exactly what pieces of their patches are needing water and not water the whole thing, but be more precise about the treatment of different areas. And in critical infrastructure, they are being used for inspections where you don't need a helicopter anymore. You don't need someone to hang from the side of a building. You can use a drone to do that more safely, quickly, and efficiently. And that's all happening today.
Mary Lou Smulders is with us as we talk about drones, drone detection technology, and the future of the industry. You can join in on drones and drone security, 800-642-1234 with your question or comment. Mary Lou, does your system like detect and locate the controllers, the pilots, at the same time of detecting the drones in the airspace?
As a matter of fact, it does. And that's really, today, one of the only tools that security professionals and police have to bring the drone down.
And what does that entail then? How does that technology work when it's not only something that can be identified in the sky, but that operator could be nowhere near that drone?
Right. So there, most drones do have a certain range. They can go before they lose contact with their remote. And that's really what we're looking for. We're assuming that the pilot is holding the remote. So that's how we find the pilot. And when you think about it, they're communicating with each other through RF signal. Most drones that hobbyists and commercial pilots inside the US are using today are using a drone that is controlled by radio frequency or RF technology. And because those two are communicating with each other, they're both emanating and receiving that RF signal.
Why does national security need counter-drone security and regulations in this area?
So we talk about three kinds of pilots. I mentioned two of them earlier. The least obvious and the one we see most today is the hobbyist. I want to take this cool picture, or I want to watch my drone fly across some cool piece of landscape. And in most areas of the country, that is absolutely legal today. Wonderful. The next kind of pilot, number two, is the one that doesn't mean any harm, but knows they're not being legal. So where can you not fly a drone? An obvious example is you're not allowed to fly a drone over people. Operations over people, or OOP, is something that we talk about today. Think of a stadium full of people and a pilot that just wants to fly over to get that cool action shot that's happening on the field, or even see a stadium full of people doing a wave and then post it to YouTube for likes. Operations over people are illegal today. Why? Well, imagine that drone had some malfunction and fell out of the sky. Or in a more nefarious case, imagine that drone dropped, let's say, even just talcum powder, baby powder, over the crowd. It wouldn't do any harm, but the panic that it might cause, would likely cause, would ensure that people get hurt. And so that's the second kind of user that we talk about. And the third is truly nefarious. Knock on wood, we haven't had a truly ill will drone in the United States today. And hopefully laws can be put in place to help security professionals and police prevent that from happening before it does happen.
Mike Gallagher of Wisconsin recently introduced counter-drone legislation on Capitol Hill, and the bill would allow federal agencies to coordinate measures against malicious drones at the state and the local level. Do you find, is there a need for improved coordination?
We really appreciate Congressman Gallagher's proposal. In fact, there is a mirror proposal in the Senate proposed by Senator Peters, and both mirror each other in their bipartisan support of really enabling police officers and security professionals, as you stated, at the state, local, and tribal level to offer greater protections. What I mentioned earlier is that today, those professionals that are trying to keep us safe really have no tools in their toolbox to help protect that stadium full of people, except to locate the pilot and convince the pilot to take their drone down. What the proposed law does, it has eight major points, but the two really that speak to enabling the security professionals to help keep us safe are, number one, allow them to use advanced decoding capabilities or advanced detection capabilities to locate the drone and the pilot in a consistent and real-time way. And number two, to what we say, mitigate the drone. At the top of your show, you mentioned shoot that drone out of the sky. Clearly, that's not something you would want to do in a stadium over people, and it's rarely something that you would ever do, however satisfying it might sound to do it. But there are other tools that security professionals can use to help mitigate that threat.
Mary Lou Smulders with a drone detection technology firm, Products to Stop Malicious Drones by Securing Airspace. Join the discussion any point as we explore drone capabilities, regulations, potential threats. Call in with a question or concern at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. The whizzing buzz of a drone overhead, is it harmless or not? We examine the emerging industry of drone detection security and bipartisan legislation authored by U.S. Representative Mike Gallagher of Wisconsin that aims to create laws to stop dangerous uses of drones. Join the conversation at any point. Call in with a question or comment. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We have Mary Lou Smulders, Chief Marketing Officer of an airspace security firm that develops drone detection systems. Mary Lou, looking at airports, Dedrone says more than 30 airports internationally use its drone security. How does the technology protect airports from drone threats?
Yeah, we protect 30 in the core U.S. and additional airports abroad. We're very proud of the fact that we do that. The airports need to know where the drones are and if there's any drone nearby. It's very simple. A bird strike is scary enough. A drone is made of metal and would certainly cause greater damage than a bird. So you need to make sure there are no drones in the flight path. The FAA in the United States has laid out very clear no drone areas, restricted airspace. And what our technology does is simply give the tower a clear visibility around where there may or may not be a drone. So they've got screens where they can look at their airspace, and if a drone pops into the airspace, they'll be immediately notified with the location of the drone, including altitude, as well as the location of the pilot. They can set out zones that are, we sort of green, think of it as green, yellow, and red zones. So they get early warnings when the drone begins to approach, giving them time to address the issue.
And time to address the issue. What would happen in the tower when that warning system goes off?
Again, in the green, yellow, and red zones, as soon as a drone is spotted far away, the airport security team is alerted to look for the drone and speak to the pilot.
And does that communication actually happen? Are there any issues with being able to get access to the pilot due to the radio frequencies?
So your viewers probably aren't aware that there was a significant drone incident across the pond in London at Gatwick Airport on the days leading up to Christmas, 2 or 3 days leading up to Christmas, where needless to say, the volume of flights and the folks wanting to get home is tremendous. They had to shut down the airport on and off for 3 days straight based on verified sightings. A verified sighting is the sighting of a drone by a trusted person, either a pilot or, let's say, a security officer at the airport that had a clear view and is convinced that they did indeed see a drone. This drone or drones kept popping in and out of the secured airspace, and millions of passengers were stranded. Over $65 million worth of damages to airlines and airport, and of course, many, many frustrated and sad passengers at the airport. They did not have any kind of detection or mitigation equipment installed at the airport. And since then, airports around the world have really taken notice of that and begun to take the actions that they could and were allowed to by law, which is why, just coming back to our previous discussion, bipartisan bills like the one from Wisconsin's Gallagher really help to empower the airports to protect themselves, their airlines, and the passengers that fly through those airports from the threat of drones.
Mary Lou Smulders is with us, Chief Marketing Officer of a San Francisco-based firm called Dedrone, as we talk about drone security. With your questions and comments, 800-642-1234. Turning to correctional facilities, Dedrone says correctional facilities face a persistent threat from drones. Devices can deliver contraband. Are prisons with drone protection successfully stopping drones?
Yeah, prisons is one that people don't immediately think about. And yet, especially since COVID, where visitations were dramatically dropped and in some cases forbidden altogether for a while, as we know, criminals are very clever people and they turn to drones to drop contraband as well as weapons and cell phones. So, contraband being drugs or cigarettes, and then, like I said, cell phones and weapons into the courtyard of drones. And in incredibly sophisticated and thoughtful ways. What you can do with our technology, again, is detect that drone as it's coming into a warning zone and also find the pilot so that you can address the concern immediately. But other things you can do with it is see that pattern over time. So, in the specific case of prisons, we were able to identify a pattern of when the drone would make their drone drop and also a pattern of takeoff points over time, which helped prison authorities to not only apprehend the pilot, but were able to narrow down a potentially uncooperative guard that was always on shift when the drone drops occurred.
And seems like these drone drops can occur at a very precise place, then. Is that right? A very precise point on a map.
Anyone who's flown a drone, they're incredible tools that can be used for good, but can also be used for not good. And they do have amazing cameras and precision drop capabilities. You are exactly right.
What about artificial intelligence on these devices? What have you seen there?
There is not a lot of artificial intelligence on the drone yet, but we at Dedrone, and by the way, we're headquartered in the National Capital Region, just outside of Washington, D.C., we have used artificial intelligence in our capabilities to do a couple of interesting things. The first is actually in the prison area, where not only do you want to detect the drone and the pilot location, but the next obvious thing you'd like to do is be able to see it. Mm-hmm. And if that drone is flying at night, that's really hard. So the next tool that...
I'm going to just pause right there with Mary Lou Smulders, Chief Marketing Officer of D-Drone. Call in with a question or comment, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As drone warfare takes hold in Ukraine, The Washington Post reporting hundreds of Ukrainian drone companies now working with its military. We examine detection technology in America, drone security proposals underway in Congress. Join the conversation. Call in with a question or comment, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Mary Lou Smulders is Chief Marketing Officer of an airspace security firm that develops drone detection systems. Let's bring on a call now. Daniel joining us from Ludington, Michigan. Daniel, hi. What is your question?
Hi. Well, talking about drone security, solicitors out here want to know the white elephant in the room question is, what would happen if it went from the yellow, then the green, and then ultimately the red? Would the owner of the drone be notified if you don't clear it from the zones? Would it be ultimately shot down? Or what measures would security take at that time, ma'am?
Daniel, thank you. Mary Lou.
That's a great question. So let's lay out that scenario today in a stadium environment. I live in Salt Lake City. We have the Bees, which is a minor league baseball team. Let's say a drone flies over that area. The security professionals, if they have the technology, will be notified that a drone is entering the airspace and where the pilot is standing. That enables the security professionals to go speak to the pilot and let them know, hey, this is illegal. You can't fly over people. And you need to bring your drone down. Outside of that, in that kind of environment, they really don't have any more tools. Again, as satisfying as it might sound to shoot the drone out of the sky, that is illegal. Today, under U.S. law, a drone is considered an aircraft and therefore has similar protections to a Boeing 777 full of people. What the Gallagher proposal offers is additional tools for those security professionals. Likely as not, they would not be shooting it down. But there are other tools. D-Drone, we manufacture and offer a jammer. What that does is it simply cuts the communication between the drone and its pilot, at which point the drone is programmed to fly back to its takeoff location.
How do you feel about prohibiting weapons from being attached to drones? That's also in Gallagher's Drone Act of 2023.
I really don't think, certainly in the United States, that we need weapons attached to drones, but that is my personal opinion.
We heard from Brad in Sun Prairie and says that U.S. government zones have been used to attack communities across the world. There have been casualties related to drone strikes, and Brad is concerned about drones' potential for violence and mass casualties. How do you feel about that?
So drones are a tool. We talked about that at the top of the hour. Drones can be used for good. And drones can be used for nefarious purposes, just like every other tool, depending on the hands that they are put in. Again, I personally don't think we need guns or weapons attached to drones inside the United States. And I think you approach it like every other tool. What we care about in D-drone is airspace security. That means that we protect people, property, and information from the threat of drones while enabling productive drones like medical delivery drones. Or I recently saw a drone that turns itself into a self-service defibrillator. Mm-hmm. Those are great productive drones that we want to enable to fly in our skies.
There's this new rule from the Federal Aviation Administration. The FAA says drones registered with the agency must operate with identification and location information. Should drone pilots have a digital license plate?
That is a great question. I really appreciate the fact that you asked that. It's called Remote ID. And remote ID is the first tiny step by the U.S. government to help keep our skies safe for productive and recreational drone usage. The great thing about remote ID is that it is indeed, exactly as you said, a license plate that will help keep our skies safe. On the other hand, just like a bank robber that's about to rob a bank, what's the first thing they're going to do? They're going to hide their license plate on their getaway car. So the remote ID rule helps to keep our skies organized, most likely for those productive and proper drone users, like the drone as a first responder that I mentioned at the top of the call. The other interesting thing, because it's only a signal, again, an RF signal that remote ID picks up, really tricky users can not only turn off their own remote ID to become invisible to a typical remote ID device, but they can also mimic, or spoof is the word that's used, remote IDs to make it look like there are a dozen drones in the sky when in fact there are none.
Hmm.
So it's a good first step. Our technology does not rely on remote ID, but it will help those productive and good drone users fly safer in the sky.
I wonder, could drone security companies like yours then have access to this information, have access to these licenses, and who has them?
Any citizen can download an app to see the drones in their sky. At least this is the theory of what's proposed. It's like a license plate. So I can read the license plate off a car that bumps into me, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't immediately have access to who owns that car. Uh-huh. And that similar analogy will be used for the drone world.
Talking with Mary Lou Smulders on drone security technology. Her company works with agencies to secure their airspace. You can join the conversation at any point. Questions and comments, 800-642-1234. Mary Lee, drones can be hacked from as much as a mile away. That's according to cybersecurity company Kaspersky Lab. How are drone users able to protect their data and their privacy?
When they talk about hacking, They are mostly looking to control the drone more than looking at the data inside the drone. But let's talk about both for a minute. How do you get a drone out of that stadium when it's flying over people and it's clearly carrying a payload? One option is jamming the signal between the drone and the pilot, and the drone will go back to its takeoff location. Another way is to hack into the drone, and then you, the hacker, or police officer, if you can imagine that as a tool, has control of the drone and can land it safely in a field far away, in my imaginary situation. And that tool can be enabled through Dedrone. You are right. You can also look into the data of the drone. What you see is what the drone uses to control and pilot itself. So you would see things like the location of the drone and the location of the pilot, the serial number of the drone, potentially even things like the battery level of the drone. You can't see footage that the drone has picked up, most likely, which is one of the concerns that we hear.
How is drone warfare affecting Russia's war on Ukraine? What are your insights there?
Ukraine conflict has shown us that from this day forward, drones will inevitably be part of warfare. In the same way that trenches were used in the Civil War and air warfare, airplanes in World Wars I and II. It is a part of the future of warfare. Not only the drones that we think of in the sky, but drones or autonomous vehicles, as their formal name is, for on land, on water, and even underwater. It is a part of warfare going forward.
You say, you know, on water, underwater, sea drones also are targeting Russian ships in the Black Sea. What do you anticipate the technology doing with naval drones?
I think it's all moving in the same direction. We talked about AI a little earlier.
Yes.
The more sophisticated the AI algorithms become, the more sophisticated the drones will become as that's applied to that sphere, and the counter drone technology. It's very analogous to what we see in the cybersecurity world, where both sides become more sophisticated. A flaw is found, it's exposed and leveraged, and then the flaw is closed and a new flaw is found, and those two become more and more sophisticated as the experience base grows.
Mary Lou Smulders is with an airspace security firm called Dedrone. As we dig into security concerns with uncrewed aerial systems or drones, call in with the question, share your comment, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We learn about the expanding uses of unpiloted aircraft and emerging safety and privacy concerns with drones whizzing overhead as lawmakers on Capitol Hill consider bills on drone security. You can join into the conversation. Call in with a question, share an experience, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Mary Lou Smulders is chief marketing officer of an airspace security firm called Dedrone and stays with us. Mary Lou, we've been talking about how agencies now have the opportunity to respond quickly and appropriately to a drone threat as you work on these programs that secure airspace. When you are jamming a drone, when you electronically do that, does that damage the drone in any way?
It does not damage the drone anyway. It's simply the drone going, oh my goodness, where's my controller? I'm not sure what I should be doing. And it's a safety mechanism built into drones so that they don't get damaged and are able to go back to their takeoff location, which was presumably a safe location for them.
Let's say that a drone goes down. Is it possible to trace the source of a drone from its wreckage or if it's been destroyed?
That's a very interesting question. It is, in most cases, if you have a warrant, which is similar to what you'd need to look into any other private private area, you do have a device that can download the information from the drone. So that is a thing you can do. And then you can see things again, like often serial number, battery life, where the drone's takeoff location was, where the pilot was.
Almost like a black box, if you will, on an airplane.
I've never thought of it that way, but yes, that does sound similar.
You know, from just from a citizen's perspective, what do you do if you see or you think you see a drone flying in a reckless manner? What are your steps?
So most drones that fly today are probably flying legally. The FAA's mandate is to make sure that our skies are safe and efficient. If, however, you see a drone in a restricted airspace area or flying recklessly, as you mentioned, over people, like any other incident that you might view, it's best to contact your local authorities. And again, what Gallagher is trying to do is to help empower those local authorities to be able to take more actions than they can do today.
In terms of the controllers, the people, the pilots flying these drones for commercial or even hobbyists, do you find that drone pilot education is becoming more sophisticated?
There is a thing like your driver's license for drone pilots that want to fly their drone for commercial use. That means that they're using their drone some way in their job or to make money. And you'll hear that called the Part 107. Do you have your Part 107? It has the same and similar hallmarks to getting your driver's license. It's not that hard. It does require a little bit of study. You learn the rules of the road and the safety parameters of where you are and are not allowed to fly, and you can get your Part 107. I'm working on mine right now.
How is it going? What have you learned?
By trade, I'm an aerospace engineer. That's what I studied in college. So there's a lot of aerodynamics about how the drone is able to fly. And then, frankly, a lot of the rules that you and I just talked about, where you can and can't fly drones.
Has it been a challenge? Do you find the training rigorous?
I encourage everyone to do it. It's really not that hard. I think it's like your driver's license. When you first start, you think, oh my goodness, how will I ever be able to drive these 2 tons of metal? And this sounds scary. But when you get into it, it's very achievable.
We're talking with Mary Lou Smulders about drone detection technology, and she's with Dedrone. You can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Mary Lou, as we were talking about artificial intelligence earlier and so many different emerging capabilities of drones and what they can do, should, say, for instance, police officers be worried that drones could replace their jobs in the future?
Drones are a tool. They can help people do their jobs more efficiently. Hundreds of police around the country have actually embraced drones for time saving and money saving tasks. Search and rescue can be done much faster and easier with drones. If you think about a terrible crash that's happened and the road is shut down for hours because they are documenting every piece of the scene before they can start cleanup and let the cars go through again, a drone can actually methodically do that much more quickly than the humans can. So there are many instances. Another favorite one for police officers is to get called out on an emergency call. A drone can actually make it to that location often faster than police in a car can, and give the police situational awareness of what's going on so they can be better prepared. Or in some cases, that it's a hoax and they can help someone else.
So it sounds like it is a tool in the toolbox for law enforcement and perhaps other agencies as well. What should be examined further to improve drone detection technology and your orbit, the area of expertise that your company has?
Yeah, I think what people are realizing is, again, like every tool, there are great things that drones can do for us. But in the wrong hands or in just careless hands, they can be annoying or incredibly dangerous. And what we're hoping to do is to help empower law enforcement to protect us from those threats that drones pose. Today, we are the most trusted airspace security company in the world, and we see that need growing as the popularity of the drones grows.
So you find that your business is just going to grow and grow based on the fact that so many businesses and agencies will need this type of protection going forward?
I think that's right. I think, you know, we need to be able to equip our state, local, and tribal law enforcement entities with the tools they need. Being there but feeling helpless is not going to help anyone.
Mary Lou, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Kate. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Mary Lou Smulders is Chief Marketing Officer of Dedrone. The company develops drone detection technology to protect from malicious drones by securing airspace. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.